Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're talking about this. How did this whole thing begin? Well, obviously, it began when God created man. It began, the darkness began with Lucifer organizing a third of the angels, you know, in the presence of God. But understand that in the fall of man have been, we're like six chapters into Genesis before God destroys everything but Noah and the eight family members and animals. What happened during the Woodrow administration? Pull up Woodrow Wilson over there if you would, and let's talk about the years. You know, World War II happened during President Woodrow Wilson's administration. World War I happened during the administration. The Federal Reserve was formed. The beginning of what we call the United Nations today was formed, which was the League of Nations. But I want to tell you a little history, and we've talked about this before, but we'll go a little bit more deeper in the context of that. There was this particular man, and you've heard, and it's a related article, I'm sure, to this. If you're listening, you can go to VFN Torch, that our president was selected before he was elected. But that's pretty much how it happens. I mean, you have some men who desire, and even women desire, to be president, and they begin this whole journey. But at some point, they sell themselves to a group of folks that says, you know, we will partner with you and get you to the presidency. President Woodrow Wilson was a professor at Princeton. Actually, he was an attorney in Rome, Georgia.
Was he really?
Yeah, when he met his love.
Wow.
Son of a Presbyterian minister.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, he wasn't that good at law or whatever. So he goes to, he's a lawyer. He goes to being a professor at Princeton. And he was so good at how he could talk without notes, and of course no prompters back then, but he could just talk. And people would applaud him. He was such a good speaker. And in that, there was this progressive movement that they feel like big government is the answer, and that government resolves issues. And there was problems going on in the world. And the problem is every time government starts taking over, it ends up to be, it's communism.
Mm.
It ends up being that way, socialism, communism, that type of thing. And understand, America was an experiment saying, you know, one nation under God, that when we met God, 151 years after the death of King James, with the one who authorized the King James Bible, where Geneva, where they're negotiating, by the way, today, about Iran and the trying to appease the Ayatollah, was where the Bible began to unfold. And finally, the Hamilton Conference came about when King James got into office. And finally, you had this authorized King James version of the Bible that got spread everywhere. So all of a sudden, people met not only, they met the God of the Bible. They finally met God. And so 151 years after King James's death, they signed the Declaration of Independence. They realized, our founding fathers realized, that you could be one nation under God. And that was the whole thing. It's the whole thing about us. That's why America can be, which means the second you turn to government, the second you turn to pull God out, we can't be anymore.
Right.
We just can't be. We can be human beings on the face of this particular property, but we can't be one nation under the same nation that we were. We could be fundamentally transformed. So what happened was they progressives, a particular reporter, I believe, in the progressive movement, went and just kind of interviewed Woodrow Wilson, Professor Woodrow Wilson, and by the time he was married to his wife that he had met when he was in Rome, Georgia. And they liked, you know, what his talents and his gifts, and they basically took those talents and gifts on, and they brought him in to the whole concept. They went and recruited him. Yeah, I guess sort of like Valerie Jarrett says, and you go back and you can see it and hear it on the VFN Torch. She went to recruit Michelle Obama out of the public sector to bring her into the private sector. And then that's when she actually recruited or met Obama at that time, Barack Obama. He wasn't even a senator, I don't think, at the time. Mm-hmm. He was a community organizer. But, you know, same thing with Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson was not in the public office anywhere in politics. He was a professor. He was a good professor, it appeared. And so they came and guys said, man, we could merge our agenda and select Woodrow Wilson, and he can be our front man. And so, long story short, they run for governor. He becomes the governor of New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that, the first thing he did was throw out all the progressives. He threw them, I mean, these are the reports. This is what this author at the Miami Book Fair just this week was talking about. His name is Scott Berg, and he wrote a book called Wilson. And he says the first thing he did was throw out all the progressives, which are the ones that
put him in, right?
You know, recruited him
mm-hmm.
the way that Michelle and Obama were recruited. And I guess he just thought you could just, you know, I don't need you. I did this.
Right.
And you have to understand, sort of like the president's pastor said, you have to understand he was selected before he was elected,
mm-hmm.
which should give you a lot more empathy for Woodrow Wilson's and Barack Obama's, and understand there's evil people out there who have agendas. But he actually just threw them all out.
Mm.
He threw them all out. And so you think that's totally over again. And this is what happens. I want you to hear what happens here when you're hearing the author of Wilson. His name is Scott Burke. Just this week, talk about from his book about what happened to the president. Oh my goodness, I'm going to squeeze all this in. He ran for president, from governor to president. And as soon as he got into the presidency, which was the goal of the progressive movement at that time, was to get him into presidency, a fun, you know, transformational mm-hmm. presidency type thing, right? And mysteriously, the love of his life, who was a faithful wife, who gave up being an artist, she became just a supportive wife when he was a professor. She supported him as a professor. When he was mm-hmm. a governor, she was a good governor's wife. And at that time, and during that time frame, and then the same thing, I mean, he had his love with him during this time. But, if you were selected, we're finding out, man, some serious stuff. She just died. Like in his first year and a half, 2 years into the White House,
mm-hmm.
She's dead. I don't know.
Mm.
But what we're finding out what's about to happen, you're about to hear firsthand what happened, because during World War I began during this time, and somebody was concerned because Woodrow Wilson was depressed in his bedroom all locked down, and they went and introduced him to a new woman, a Washington socialite. And I got to tell you about this, because she became, according to this man, the first female president. The first female president of the United States, because they locked this man down. What am I saying? I'm not talking about Woodrow and his wife. I'm talking about the progressive movement that chose them, that they were going to get their way no matter what, so you better listen up. That's when we have to pray for those in authority over us.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we have to watch out what's going on. People are trying to organize the world right now, and they're trying to put things in place. So I guess the money and the power and all that. But I got news for you. All glory goes to God. We're talking about Woodrow Wilson and this author, Scott Berg, who just was at the Miami Book Fair in Miami just this weekend, talking about his book and his study. And he says very specifically, well, you'll hear him. I want you to hear himself from C-SPAN's. But understand this. We'll make this available to you on the VFN Torch. That understand that when Woodrow Wilson immediately just, according to Scott Berg, who did this biography on him, he got rid of all these progressive concepts immediately, or people, mm-hmm. but you can't, if you make a deal with Lucifer, you have to understand this is what the president's pastor was saying. And hopefully it's related. Make sure these things are related. Make sure all these things, so everybody has the context of these things. He says that he was selected before he was elected. He was trying to explain to everybody, he first has to do, you don't understand this, you don't just get here, basically. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what happened to Woodrow. But when President Woodrow Wilson, just basically threw out all the progressives, according to Scott Berg here, who wrote the book Wilson, is just out now, by the way. He said that, as soon as Woodrow Wilson became president, within the first 2 years, his wife, his love of his life, I mean, this guy was just, he's known for his love letters to his wife. He was just so madly in love with her, and she love letters to him, and they just loved each other. And she died, you know, and she's followed him she gave up this, you know, career in Rome, Georgia, and followed him to be a professor. And she was just a good loving wife, and he was a good loving husband to her or whatever up to that point. And she dies, and they finally get to this White House. They're going to be able to do something, and all of a sudden the love of his life dies. He gets depressed. He goes into his room, and then they start knocking on his doors and like, you got to be president, you know, come out, you got to be president. And and they also said there's a war just started, because World War I just started. Mm-hmm. And we just talked about how that could happen. Mm-hmm. just with the appeasement that just took place. But then what they did was they felt like, well, hey, we got to, for whatever reason, they went and found a lady, a Washington socialite, I believe she was divorced, and they introduced him to her, and they courted each other in the presence of everybody. They never were alone through this whole process. Mm. And when they got married, and he did start writing the same letters in his 50s now when this is going on. Mm. When they got married, she never left his side. I want you to hear right now, this is Scott Berg, author of Wilson, talking about Woodrow Wilson, just this weekend.
Departments of the government just to stop in and have meetings. Mrs. Wilson would invariably go with him. She was trained in all the memoranda he was writing, and it was almost as though fate was dictating, because what happened was, after the war, after Wilson came back with his League of Nations and the peace treaty and went around the country to 29 cities to try to convince the American people that they should convince the Republican Senate to ratify this treaty, which the Republicans did not want to do. In the middle of this tour, Woodrow Wilson collapsed. And he was rushed home to Washington from the middle of the country, and there, a few days later, Woodrow Wilson suffered a stroke. Now here's where Mrs. Wilson comes in. She and a handful of doctors engaged in what I consider the greatest White House conspiracy in history. She and a handful of doctors engaged in what I consider the greatest White House conspiracy in history, because three or four people decided they would never tell anybody the president had suffered a stroke. And so for the last year and a half of the Wilson administration, for all intents and purposes, Edith Bowling Galt Wilson became the first female president of the United States. Yes. Bring it on. She was making no decisions on her own, she insisted. She said she was merely a steward, but nobody saw the president. Of the thousands of people who want to see him, nobody saw him, a handful only at that, without passing through Mrs. Wilson. All the documents, things that required signatures, commissions, whatever, memorandums, nothing appeared before the President of the United States' eyes until Mrs. Wilson decided what and when the President would act upon it. So she became a pretty supportive wife.
I guess so. If I could just underscore.
You think about that. This book just came out, studying of one of our presidents, Woodrow Wilson, who was the one who was responsible for the Federal Reserve, which is actually taking us down today, according to what you can hear on VFN, the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and listen to one of the former employees of the Federal Reserve apologize, say, I'm sorry for what we did with QE1, mm-hmm. and there's no turning back. He doesn't know a nation. This is the Federal Reserve is doing this, which is not, by the way, Federal Reserve, they're not part of a government at all. But that word saying federal causes people to think it's part of the government. It's right. Not. It could say Bubba Incorporated. And what we're seeing here is a Jezebelic Ahab spirit that power has been seduced. And the spirit was seduced our leadership. But understand that, you know, they say, you know, if you have a monkey and a snake at the top of a mountain, and the snake says to the monkey, if you help me come down from the top of this mountain, you know, carry me down there, then I won't bite you. And the monkey says, okay. And all of a sudden the monkey grabs the snake. He climbs all the way down the mountain, and all of a sudden he puts the snake down. The snake reaches out and he bites the monkey. Mm-hmm. And the monkey looks at the snake and he said, why did you bite me? And he's like, you knew what I was when you made an agreement. You knew I was a snake. Uh-huh. And when you make a deal with the devil, it's never going to turn out good. You're going to have to openly repent. You're going to have to openly clear all that out. And hopefully, you know, God will just bring you out of that alone, that your soul will be saved. Uh-huh. But secondly, is you can't build on that foundation. And it was started when he was selected. President Woodrow Wilson was selected. And even though he threw out the ones that selected him, according to the author here, Greg Scott Berg, in his book, The Wilson, what he's saying at the 2013 Miami Book Fair, just this last weekend, is, and you can see him actually say this in the whole interview about his book on the VFN Torch, that mysteriously, the love of his life, his very supportive wife, who did not usurp his authority, died. Mm. And they put somebody in there. They introduced him to somebody in his time of depression. By the way, this is how you know. When you're under a Jezebel, Ahab spirit coming over you, you lose your ability to see your purpose for life, your vision. You don't even care. Here he was, president of the United States, and he didn't even care. This is what he said, because he was a religious man. Scott Berg says that he was a Christian, that he would not kill himself, but he would say openly at that time, I wish somebody would just shoot me. Mm. And that's kind of what you feel like when you're under attack of a Jezebel spirit. Maybe, you know, you've surrendered your authority over, or the enemy's fighting to be able to take it from you. And you're just, your whole brain doesn't work right. And you just, you look, you know, why am I alive? And all this type of stuff's going on. And so he was very vulnerable now. His wife's dead. You have all this seduction around him with this progressive crew. And it's a spirit. So you can say, well, they weren't alive then. This is not about people. It's Ephesians 6:12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. You should love the people. We're not talking about people. We're talking about a spirit. And so all of a sudden now they introduce him to a Washington socialite. I mean, just the whole concept of that, which was divorced socialite.
She has her own wiki page.
Oh, does she?
Edith Galt. Yes, she does.
Okay. And then she never leaves his side, because he was a very personal president. He was always in the president's room. There's a place at Congress called the president's room, which is where our presidents are supposed to go and just meet with congressmen and senators all the time. And it's not happening. Mm-hmm. And he was always there. Well, and he would go to their offices and everything. And she never left his side. And she would even understand. She wanted to understand how everything. She became, according to Scott Berg, the first female president of the United States.
Wow.
It matters who you marry.
Hmm.
It matters who selects you. It matters. It matters who you marry. And next thing you know, he's out pushing this huge big government across, pushing hard. Why is he pushing so hard? And I really sense, you know, in my spirit that there's a big push behind our president, because whoever selected him is just pushing their agenda. They're wanting this transformational world and this transformational presidency, and he's worn out. I know that even during the interview with Valerie Jarrett, you know, she talks about when they went back to go get the president, he was supposed to come out and speak, and they found him with his head laying on the desk, and he had fallen asleep with his head on his hands. You know, and you're busy all the time anyway, but if there's something like this is going on, you know, and to have some empathy to understand this whole machine is pushing you. And she became the first, according to Scott Berg, the first female president of the United States. And this is where the Federal Reserve came out of. This is where the League of Nations, where the United Nations came out of. We're talking about Woodrow Wilson. We're talking about this author who just wrote a book called Wilson, Scott Berg, saying that Woodrow Wilson's wife was the first female president, he believes, of the United States, because they locked him down. They obviously, when you have a stroke, you can't move much, but they did not tell anybody, just the socialite wife that they introduced to him while he was in Washington, and a handful of doctors is the only ones that could see the president. And then they would carry legislation, and it would be interesting to see what legislation was passed during in the last year and a half, because that was the legislation that was passed by this new wife that was introduced to him during World War One. And understand, World War One, big government, progressives are about big government. Government resolves everything. And so we just need a bigger government. We need an office of this and an office of that. And we just need to tax more, because yet the reason why you need more taxes is because you got to run this big thing called government. Government doesn't produce any money at all, so it has to take money to be able to run. Well, what was going on with all these progressive ideas that was being loosed through President Woodrow Wilson and obviously his new wife was, which now obviously he's in the progressive movement since he has a progressive partner, is when World War One started, and he ran on not going to war, that the people that, and most of our tax base basically came from international trade, which means the money got cut off to be able to fund this big machine called government. And so one way to resolve that was to we have to go to war now because people are not buying our products anymore. We're building stuff, but they're buying weapons and things. So we got to go to war because we need to have big government here. We got to get involved in the war. So a man that ran on not going to war now is promoting a war, and he hired Goebbels and all these guys to go around and begin to educate people, because his expectancy was, he's a professor, he's an intellectual, he's going to start talking to folks, was about, if we're going to go to war, we're all going to go to war. And one of his best friends, and one of his opponents, as a matter of fact, that ran against him, that was really for him until they went to war, was put in jail because he spoke out against the war. And at that time, the president didn't believe that, Woodrow Wilson didn't believe that if we were at war, you can't speak out against it. And if you do, then it's called sedition. And they actually tried him in the courts and locked his opponent up. Wow. I don't know about anybody that would lock their opponents up. Do you know about anybody that locked their opponents up other than Jezebel?
Yeah.
And so the reason why we went to World War One, based on history, was our tax base was gotten all, not just, we didn't have all this local tax stuff. Our tax monies were coming basically from what we sold abroad. And so now they're in war. So they quit buying our stuff. And how can we have big government? Because there's not enough money to do this thing. So let's get in there and let's do this thing. He does. And then to be able to resolve it, to be able to make sure we don't do this anymore, we'll never go to war again. And because it was money-based to begin with, because we've got to have this progressive government, let's just tie our economies together. If we tie our economies together, then nobody will go to war anymore, because that means if you fight me, then your economy is going to crash. Hence, the Federal Reserve.
Wow.
Think about it.
Wow.
And so, because it was about money that got us in, it was about progressivism that got him in. He thought he threw him out, but the monkey and the snake deal ain't going to work. Mm-hmm. You're still going to get bit. You can't, once you made a deal with the devil, you know, you can't make him go away unless you just point him out and just say, I'm sorry, God, I'm wrong. And you just can't build on that foundation. You got to be willing to say, forget it. God, put somebody in this office or whatever that can do it. But in the context of that, and so it was money that got us into World War One. Because we needed people to buy our products, so we have a tax base, because he believed in big government. He think there should be, government was the answer to the problems that was going on, and so the progressive movement behind him. And so he's out pushing this thing, and pushing and pushing and pushing big government across the nation, and all of a sudden what happens? He has a stroke. I mean, think about that. The progressives are freaking out now. Freaking out. What do you do? The man we selected, that we went to Princeton and we selected, he can't talk no more. He was known for his ability to speak, and now he's got slurred, strokish speech.
Wow.
He can't even walk. He was known for his ability to articulate and to not even use, he'd have a cue card that he could talk for hours on a cue card. They just had this great, and now he couldn't, you know, when you have a stroke, you're kind of slurred speech, you can't walk and that, whatever. But this is what they did with him. A handful of doctors and this new selected wife for him, selected again, they basically took over, according to Scott Berg here, was author of Wilson. And became the first female president of the United States. In other words, it kept going. So how does that fit what we're talking about? Well, that was a progressive movement. That was about building, you know, big government. And this is where we are today. Understand, the second Israel turned to government instead of God, they were rejecting God. They weren't rejecting their way of life or their culture or whatever. This is how he said it. Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They say, we want a government just like everybody else. We want a government that takes care of us. This is what Israel said. Mm-hmm. And God said, you're rejecting me. And he even explained it to them, and they still rejected them. So man's tendency was always to try to build some sort of security thing around him instead of trusting God with their security. Well, America works and worked because it's one nation under God. And we said that God is over us. We're one nation under God. And so as long as we are a moral people and that we honor God and our founding constitution in the context of God allowing us to have this country, then it will work. Outside of that, it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody comes in with a progressive mindset, they're replacing our constitution. You have to replace it because our constitution is one nation under God, but it wants to be selected one nation under government.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing. That's what Israel did. They went from one nation under God to one nation under government, which was under God. And so that's when, you know, God chose for them a king. The first king was Saul, of all the ones, the names. And no, it wasn't Saul Alinsky. It was King Saul from Tarsus.
Hmm.
But in the context of all this, understand that, my goodness, so there was a lot of selecting going on, and there was a big progressive movement behind him, and mysteriously his good wife dies, and he gets a second wife who is now praised by all the progressives and everything about what's going on. You know, good thing she was there. First of all, no wife should ever lock her husband in a room somewhere. And no husband should lock her wife in a room somewhere and talk for them. That is so strange. But that's what happened with Ahab and Jezebel. What happened with Ahab and Jezebel was that nothing went through King Ahab's presence or hand without it going through Jezebel's hands. And she was the queen and he was the king. And they had this big government mentality. His father told him, if you marry her, then our government will be bigger. We'll have a bigger government. We'll merge our governments together, our kingdoms together. And she came with a lot of baggage, and Ahab had his own baggage already. But Ahab was God's choice or lineage for the king. But it came at a point in time, everything had to go through Jezebel because she was the true authority there. She was the authority. She was the one. And he was basically under her authority, even though outwardly she would present him as the king because he was rightfully the king. She was the one that determined. She would sign letters in his name. She would take his ring and she would have people, you know, done away with and often.
As you're saying that, there's a picture on her Wikipedia page of President Wilson sitting at a desk. We're going to make this related in the torch. And she's steadying the papers. He signs his names and documents, looking over. It's just like,
right.
It just looks eerie.
And so the context of that so it is possible, the paradigm is possible, that part of the selecting process, and I think about Valerie Jarrett, I think about Valerie selecting Michelle, and then secondary, I see a Woodrow coming in the picture. You know, secondary, I see Ahab coming in the picture. Secondary, I see Barack Obama coming in the picture. It is possible that an authority, even though it's presented one way, the reason why I go so much back unusually to my home so much, mm-hmm. and I don't socialize with too many people, because I'm influenced by those decisions. And this is what Valerie says. I found out when I saw the president that he listens not only to his wife, but he listens to us. Mm. And I knew this is what she said. Which is great. You should listen to wise counsel. But the question is, but does he still lead in the context of that? And so this whole progressive thing is about seducing authority, what's established authority. So our president is president. He has all the rights before the Lord to operate in full authority and make decisions as president, as the executive leader of our nation in the context of our Constitution. And nobody should be seducing his authority. Nobody should be pulling on him or threatening him or trying to push their agendas over him, because you're seducing his authority. You're being Jezebelic. Mm. You're being Wilson wife too. Mm. You're being the progressive movement aspect of that. And if it was going to be that way anyway, why not just run for president yourself? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Why do you need to take a Woodrow with you? Why don't you have to take this man of God? And so in the context of that, it is possible then for this whole thing to be spiritually arrayed and not in right order. And it looks like all of America is under a Jezebelic spirit right now. This is part of what Chuck Pierce talked about. The government needs to be shaken loose. And so, which means this, those who truly have the authority, men and women alike, because this is not about gender, that you need to begin to move into your place of authority up under, and those that are at the church I'm talking about, you need to move up under the authority of Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to begin to move in boldness again and take back what the devil has stolen from us. It's time for the church to arise and shine, for our light has come. It's time for the Jehu spirit to rise up and say, we're going to restructure this puppy. No more is Jezebel going to be in charge. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.